It's showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Hello, good evening, and welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios here, Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. It's another edition of Overtime, clocking in after 6 o'clock here on a much better Tuesday evening versus yesterday. You had to fight through yet another rainy day on your Monday. It's been very, very good. Pretty much early spring type weather out there in Knoxville day. Beautiful day out there if you haven't gotten outside yet. Temperatures in the low to mid 60s out there. Feels fantastic. I rolled in here wearing a short sleeve t-shirt. Hey, I'm feeling pretty good right here, man, but ready to stay inside here in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Two more hours. We are with you until 8 o'clock per usual. And I'm Tanner Carson, by the way. I'm joined by Tucker Holt, who's on the board, two-man gang once again here this evening. Tucker, how are you doing today, my friend?
Doing really good. This weather's got me in a good mood, honestly. I think this is the first time you've been able to walk around with just a t-shirt on in a while, and it does. It feels really nice.
Yeah, man, it definitely feels great out there. I'm in a pretty good mood today. Plenty to tackle in here on this late February evening here. Tucker, I have to inform you of something that you missed before you got here at the station, by the way. So when I got here after the drive, did their break from hour two to hour three, you know, the extended end of our break, I guess they were talking about it before on air, and I didn't get to catch it, but I caught what they were doing when they walked out here, and you had Trey Wallace versus Bear in a plank off.
A plank off, like the exercise?
Like the exercise.
Oh, who won?
Before I tell you who won, I think they were inspired by, did you see the guy who set the Guinness World Record for the longest plank?
No, how long was it?
8 hours or something
like
that.
Oh my God.
I mean, just constantly in the plank position.
Whoa.
I mean, I can't imagine his abs.
Yeah, that dude's got a steel wall.
I'll look it up here. Oh, how about this here? So it was 8 hours, 15 minutes, 15 seconds. And that's not it, though. Get this. The man is 62 years old.
Wow. I would start wanting to get up after like 2-5 minutes. Like 5 minutes would be like a max right now.
I mean, isn't like a 5 minute plank, like that's considered a really good, you know, exercise.
Yeah, that's a long time. 8 hours?
Fantastic for your midsection. This dude did it for an entire workday and then some. Yeah, 62 years old, down there in Tampa. A Florida man.
Of course.
A Florida man in the news, but for doing something, you know, weird, but a good type of weird right here. Setting a world record.
That is ridiculously impressive.
His name is George Hood, by the way. George Hood.
Shout out to George Hood. Wow.
62 years old, Tampa. So I assume that inspired Bear and Trey to do their plank off. Bear won, by the way.
Ooh, okay.
Bear got the dub. Trey slipped. He slipped on his footing, fell down. Bear got the dub. They went for about a minute and a half.
Nice.
It was very intense. A lot of crap talking back and forth. Bear was trying to play the mental game. He looked at Trey and said, Trey, John Gruden was never coming to Tennessee. It was never going to happen. Trying to get him off his game a little bit.
It seemed to have worked.
I think the mental game worked. I do think the mental game worked a little bit here. That was something you missed. You need to get here earlier, Tucker.
I'll just show up and hang out all day. I miss too much not being here.
You really miss too much. The shenanigans that go on in between shows out here in the lobby, it's entertainment. I'm not going to lie. It is quality entertainment that goes on out there.
I understand. I need to get here earlier.
You definitely do here, but I mean, that's fine, though. You have me to recount the stories. You got me to give you a story. It's okay. Bear out there with the dub. Yeah, I see you, Bear. I see you, yeah. Plank champion.
Yeah, he was giving me a look through the door as well. Yeah,
he always gives some looks. I will say that much here. Well, we start things off by giving you a quick score update for Tennessee baseball. The baseballs out on the diamond, Lindsey Nelson Stadium today. They are back at home after sweeping the Round Rock Classic down there in Texas this weekend. Quick, pop quiz, Tucker. Can you tell me what Round Rock is a suburb of? Which big Texas city? Can you tell me which city it is a suburb of?
Round Rock is near Houston.
No, get one more guess.
San Antonio.
No, it's Austin.
Oh, really?
It's Austin, which surprised me because I thought, like you, I thought it was Houston.
It seems like a Houston name near
that area.
I thought
it was Houston, but Austin, Texas. So they came back up from the heart of Texas. They are in action right now against the Northern Kentucky Norse.
How we doing?
I will tell you how we're doing here in just one second. I didn't know if you were going to have a reaction to Northern Kentucky's nickname being the Norse.
It's a great name. It's a fantastic name.
It's a fantastic nickname for sure. But the Norse walked into Knoxville today 0-7 overall.
That's usually not what you want in your first seven games.
Playing a 7-0 Tennessee team, and the last update I get from Tennessee baseball Twitter account, 11 minutes ago, bottom of the fourth, after a two-run double for Evan Russell, Tennessee extends the lead to 10-0.
That's what you like.
Laying the smack it down on the Northern Kentucky Norse.
Norse,
get out of here. I prefer Roman mythology. I prefer Greek mythology. Norse mythology. Pfft. Get out of here with that stuff. Go back up to South Cincinnati, wherever the hell that campus is located up there. I'm sure it's a fine campus. It is close to Skyline Chili, though.
I've actually,
so is it even that good?
What is your thoughts on it? You don't like Skyline Chili?
Hell no. Absolutely not.
I've had it one time. And it wasn't, like, legitimate. I didn't go to Cincinnati to try it. Like, they sell it in a can here, apparently, which I was unaware of. But someone who is a huge fan of it told me to try it. And it is strange, to say the least. I don't think I hated it, but I wouldn't go out of my way to eat it. Hmm. It's just a very strange. Like, they got the spaghetti noodles in there, and that's just weird.
I can't do it, man.
I think it would maybe be fine. I think the spaghetti noodles really just, like, make it weird.
There's not a lot of chili I'm a big fan of.
Is not it, chili guy?
I will eat it. I'm not turned off by chili. Chili's nothing to disgusting. I never get a hankering for saying, hey, man, I'm going to make chili. No, I don't do that.
See, I never make it, but if anybody in the family does, I come by and I get a bowl.
I'll have chili on a hot dog.
I mean, okay, chili dogs are good, but I mean, good homemade chili. Like, it's good stuff, man. Like, a nice cold day, maybe it's snowing outside.
See, that's when a lot of people want to eat chili is when it's snowing outside, when it's really cold. I don't get the hankering for it.
It's good stuff, man.
I just don't. What? I don't even know if I get a hankering for anything specific when it's cold outside. I mean, it makes when I drink coffee in the morning, it makes it a little bit better, getting some warm coffee.
I'm always eating chili and soup when it's cold.
I mean, I'm just, I don't gravitate towards that. I don't know why.
Good potato soup.
I don't know why, man. I can't explain it. I don't get a specific craving when it's cold outside. If it's hot outside, I'll get cravings for something. It's weird.
Okay.
Good summertime food. I want a good, you know, barbecue. I want a good cookout, you know.
Get some
burgers. Get, like, some actual barbecue. Like, get me some pulled pork, you know.
I think it's something that's probably just got ingrained in me, though. Because literally every time it was cold or snowy, my parents would make, like, my dad specifically would make a big pot of chili. So maybe I just, you know.
See, I guess that's where we're different.
Yeah, I just have the two in my mind as a thing.
Well, I mean, whether or not you like chili or not like it here, I mean, it's whatever. I can't judge either way.
Yeah.
I can't judge either way.
But just don't put noodles in it.
Yeah, just Skyline, though, I will judge. I mean, you even have Joe Burrow himself, the what you hope for, if you're a Bengals fan, what you hope is your next savior, you know, an Ohio kid, Southeast Ohio kid, coming back to Cincinnati to save that franchise. And he's already been on record forever ago saying how much he hates Skyline Chili. Now, not to say that a guy from that area doesn't like a Cincinnati chili. He just doesn't like Skyline, though.
Yeah, Skyline's like fast food chili, is it not?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I've never made the trek up there, but from what I can tell, it's just a fast food restaurant that sells.
I have family north of Cincinnati. I mean, I haven't seen them in a minute, but I do remember not going to get Skyline chili. Give me, like, anything else, though. But that's the way I could segue into talking about the NFL Combine, though, talking about Joe Burrow.
Okay.
You know, he had his hands measured yesterday. Apparently the 9-inch hands are just tiny as hell for a quarterback. Burrow's out there on Twitter going ahead and saying he's going to retire because of his hand size. So with that kicking off, what's going on up there in Indianapolis this week, we bring it back here locally here to talk about the Tennessee football players who are up in Indianapolis showcasing their skills for scouts at the Combine up there. So we already told you yesterday again, and if you weren't aware of this, Darrell Taylor will not be working out at the Combine. He's still recovering from an off-season surgery. He will, however, be working out for scouts at Tennessee's Pro Day in April. So if you were looking to keep up with what Darrell Taylor was doing up in Indianapolis, you're going to have to wait until Tennessee Pro Day over here on campus in April to see what he does with his workouts, with his drills, with his 40 time, all that type of stuff here. So that means that you have to focus on the guys that would be showcasing some stuff. Juwan Jennings, of course. You also have fellow wide receiver Marquez Callaway. Also on the offense, Dominic Wood Anderson is up at the Combine. And the only other defensive player besides Darrell Taylor is Daniel Batuli. And I still go back to when these names were first announced of the players that were invited. If you would have had to have me guess which five players would have been invited, I would have given you four of the same ones, except I would have replaced Dominic Wood Anderson with Nigel Warrior. Still can't wrap my head around the fact Nigel Warrior is not at that Combine with the year that he had.
Yeah, he had an absolutely like stellar year.
I mean,
he should be there.
If you want to talk about scouting and analytics and all that type of stuff, Pro Football Focus, man. Every time they would do a team of the week, every time they would grade players, Nigel Warrior always graded well, according to them. So it shocks me a little bit that he didn't get that invite. That doesn't mean he's not going to get drafted or anything
You think when he got that pick against Bama and got ran down at the 50, you think that hurt his draft stock?
I mean, wasn't that also a really fast player that caught him? I'm not saying that it wasn't kind of bad because you shouldn't get chased down.
Yeah, wasn't it like that Judy bad? That ran him down or something like that?
I think it was Judy. It was another one of their fast guys. I mean, just because you don't have the speed doesn't mean you
be a solid ball player. Mad. That was an insane pick. That was a really good play.
Anyway, though, you do have five balls up there. Again, Darrell Taylor not working out. But this week, when every time they do the drills, every time they do 40 times, things like that, there will be several balls to keep your eyes out on. Tennessee players did speak to the media today. Really good clips of Juwan Jennings and Marquez Callaway giving a shout out to Tennessee fans. Man, I really missed Juwan already.
Yeah, it stings that he's actually gone.
I'm rooting like hell for him to have a good combine, as good as he can. If he does choose to run the 40, it's not going to be good. I think we know that. I think we know that the lightning fast speed is not his strong suit. We are aware of that, but I think he can show up really good. He put on one hell of a week when it came time for Senior Bowl preparation. Down in Mobile, had a good Senior Bowl, caught a touchdown. So I'm confident he'll have a good showing. I'm really confident Marquez Callaway will have a great showing as well. Looking at some of the physical attributes as they weighed in and were measured to kick things off this week on yesterday when they did that Monday. So starting off with Juwan, measures in 6'3", weighs in 215 pounds. Arm length, 31 5/8 inches. Tucker, hand size.
How big are they?
9 inches, Joe Burrow size.
Uh-oh.
Does that mean Juwan has tiny hands?
He can't catch.
I guess that's why he never made it as a quarterback.
Ooh. Ooh. Good spin zone right there. That was a good one.
Oh, well. Dominic Wood Anderson, 6'3", 261, arm length, 33 1/8 inches. Hand size, 9 6/8 inches.
Who is this?
This is Don Wood Anderson.
Hmm.
Marquez Callaway. Now, this is interesting here. He measures in at 6'1". The drive was talking to Chad Withrow earlier. I listened on my drive over here, and he was saying that, well, it's more like a 6'3", 6'4", is what it looks like.
Then why?
This is an official combine measurement.
Oh,
though.
Okay.
I guess he might just appear to be bigger than he is. But 6'1", 205, arms, 32 3/8 inches. Hand size, bigger hands than Juwan, 9 3/8.
Okay.
And then you don't – so that's only on offense. Daryl Taylor, Daniel Battuli, they will have their measurements done tomorrow.
All right.
So there we go. So are you going to be invested in this combine here? Are you going to be looking for – I mean, not just updates on Tennessee players, but is the combine something you usually keep up with just because it is talked about a whole lot? It is something that when it comes to draft stock, it is very important.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take all the football I can get.
Even if it's not actually football?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it pertains to my team, the Chiefs. I want to see who we can get and what we're looking for and stuff like that. And there's always one guy who kind of wows everybody at the combine. They don't, you know, always turn into anything. Like, I'm actually not even sure what John Ross is doing anymore. But he ran that insanely fast 40 time, and that's a story. That's just fun to keep up with. Is he in the league? Is that what you're checking?
Oh, well, I'm sure.
Heard his name.
He's still in the Bengals.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. He went to Cincinnati.
Still in the Bengals, yeah, but career stats. So draft in 2017.
I'm sure he plays, especially in Cincy.
I'm trying to get his stats here. So it looks like he's only had like one almost like he's not played a full season. Has he had health issues?
Very possible. Maybe that's why I haven't heard him. Because I know the man's like. Lightning. I mean, he's just insanely fast. But
he only had like one. Well, I guess his last two seasons have kind of been like a workload. So his rookie season, he didn't do anything. No real stats to speak of.
Mm-hmm.
2018 starts 10 games, plays in 13. 21 catches, 210 yards, 7 touchdowns. 7 touchdowns and 21 catches isn't bad.
Wow, I guess that's his speed.
And then last year in only 8 games, starts all 8 games, 28 catches, 506 yards. 3 touchdowns.
Oh, so he's doing well. Okay.
Well enough. Good enough to stay on a roster.
Okay,
spot,
I retract my statement. He is doing very well for himself.
But I'm sure at that same token, you can look at several guys who just blew people away at the combine and ended up just being a complete disaster once they actually started to play football.
Yeah, it's almost like the 3-and-cone drill doesn't immediately transfer into, you know, playing football.
I just remember playing Madden years ago, and if you ever did like your creative player thing, you'd go through those drills.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, this is so stupid.
It's like, this is doing nothing.
It's absolutely nothing. And maybe it does just as much in the real world, too. Maybe it does just as much. We're going to catch this first break here. We're up against it for the first one of the show. We are going to continue along here on your Tuesday evening on Fan Run Radio. You're listening to Overtime. Be right back. Yeah, Tennessee baseball definitely staying alive out there on Lindsey Nelson right now. It's a 12-0 lead heading into the bottom of the fifth. This thing could get a whole lot worse. Thank you for coming down, Northern Kentucky. You get a nice little check, and you get your ass handed to you. It's the way it should be. You shouldn't be struggling against teams like this. Already, the day is over for starting pitcher Christian Dellschmidt. In his first ever start, how about this? 4.2 innings pitched, 3 hits allowed, no runs, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts.
That's
nice.
That is good.
Man, I tell you what, when we talked about this baseball team yesterday, we even said that, hey, despite all the success, you still don't have Garrett Crochet, your far and away ace, top 10 projected draft pick, back healthy yet. And all the different stars you had over last weekend, it's all fantastic, just knocking all of them down. I think Vitale might have a nice little staff rotation.
Yeah, I mean, his absence for a little while, I don't know when we're getting him back, but it's probably been pretty good for these other guys to get them even more, you know, in rhythm and whatnot, and then he'll come back and, you know, we'll be firing on all cylinders.
Oh, I want to start conference play with, like, no more than one loss, if that was possible. That's possible.
It is not to get too far ahead of ourselves.
We got the weekend against George Washington. I mean, I don't know how good they are. You always have to – I mean, if you're playing a three-game series, I mean, yeah, you can always – worry about dropping one, especially if you get the Friday and Saturday, you maybe come out lackadaisical on Sunday and drop one. So it's not the end of the world if you drop one.
No.
Obviously, it's college baseball.
But I mean, it'd be nice not.
I mean,
to.
Hell, we saw how much sweeping the Round Rock Classic, beating two ranked teams, mattered when it came to the polls.
Joke.
Did you know Texas Tech moved up in like some
yeah,
polls?
No, yeah, I saw that. That is a joke.
They did go 2-1. I get that, but I'm just like, ugh. How bad were the other weekends for teams in that top five that they still moved up? I don't get college baseball polling. It's making me frustrated again thinking about it.
It's very weird.
Let's just move on back to football stuff and we understand a little bit more here. Back to the combine here, Tucker. And I want your thoughts on this here because we're finally going to get to see exactly who has the best week this week. This has been something that was discussed when the first five invites from Tennessee to the combine were announced. Who do you think of the people that will be participating? Again, it's going to be Juwan Jennings, Marquez Callaway, Dominic Wood Anderson, and Daniel Batuli actually working out this week because Daryl Taylor still out with his surgery recovery. Who do you think? I'll ask you a two-part question here, so the answers could be different if you want to. A, who do you expect to have the best performance this week? And two, who do you think has the most to gain, you think, that we're probably not thinking of? Who do you think has the most to show that you probably wouldn't expect him to going into this?
I can see Batuli doing really well. I mean, he's just incredibly talented. I think he's going to do well for himself. I don't think that'll be a big shock. I mean, I think everybody knows how good Batuli is. I mean, maybe a shock for everybody else, but other than Tennessee fans. But, I mean, we know what that guy is. He's really good. But I think Callaway, just his frame and his, like, skill set, you know, going up and high-pointing the ball and his route running and stuff like that, I really think he could, you know, kind of shine into the spotlight. I think he really can perform really well, and I think he could be an NFL receiver just on his, you know, his skill set that he has right now. Really like Callaway.
I'm almost wanting to think Callaway will impress the most.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he will end up impressing overall the most because here's the thing. I think he will show more speed in his 40 than maybe we would have thought he had. Because there's a reason this guy was your punt returner.
Yeah.
There's a reason he has multiple return touchdowns. The guy's got very good in-game type of quickness here. I think that in-game, we've seen this a lot of times from not only Callaway, but Jennings as well. Think about all the 50-50 back shoulder throws they were able to jump up and get. They were both really good 50-50 ball targets for a reason, red zone targets. They're really good at that for a reason. I see Marquez Callaway showcasing his athletic skills the most here.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. I think we're both kind of spot on. I think he could really, very much help his draft stock a lot.
But I tell you what, the second part of that question I was asking you, my answer for the most, who I think has the most to showcase that we probably wouldn't have expected him to, let's go with Dominic Wood Anderson.
Yeah.
I think maybe once his NFL career starts, I'm going to go ahead and predict that we might get a little annoyed at how consistent he will be in the NFL.
Yeah,
why didn't we use that more?
Yeah. Like, he did not get the ball very much.
It's not going to be to an Alvin Kamara level.
No.
I want to get that straight here. But Dominic Wood Anderson, I think he can get drafted. I think he can be a day three draft selection if his combine's good enough.
Yeah, I think he's got the body of an NFL tight end. I mean, he's a really big dude, and he's got some hands. He just didn't really get to showcase his hands very much in his time here.
And we can blame schemes for that. We can blame quarterback play for that.
Yeah.
I mean, offensive line just as well overall. I mean, it's whatever. He's going to be an NFL tight end.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he'll ever be a starting tight end, But I think this is a guy's just you look at him and you immediately, when it comes to the eye test, think, hey, yeah, I could probably see this guy being on an NFL roster now.
And that's a really big part. Like, it may sound dumb, but
the eye test is real.
Yeah, a lot of those guys that are making these decisions, visual is a huge part. I mean, you look at them and they're like, they see a big dude, athletic looking, it catches their attention. And they almost want to see you, you know, be talented in what they want. And it kind of leans them to picking you. I could see him going, you know, he won't be an early draft pick, but I could definitely see him getting drafted.
Day three, definitely. It may be seventh round.
Yeah,
but
he'll go to a team.
Man, he's just a big guy.
He's a unit. I remember when we got him.
Really good blocker as well.
That's the main thing that I think is he could be on a team is because he has that.
Just because that the tight end role has kind of changed the NFL to be more of a receiver first, it doesn't mean that you forget about blocking.
I mean, look at Kittle. He's the best blocking tight end in the league.
Exactly.
And there's a reason he's so good is because he has both, you know, parts of the game. He's not just a catcher.
Helped himself a whole lot this past season, though, Dominic Wood Anderson did, because his stats this past season were definitely a whole lot better than 2018. Mm-hmm. 21 catches, 268 yards, and a touchdown. Has a long of 54 yards. I mean, he's been able to reel in some big catch and runs as well. So.
Why can't I remember that 54-yard pass to him?
I'll have to look up
when
it happened.
I don't even know when that was.
I can tell you real quick here.
I remember seeing him running down the field, but I don't know what game that was.
I tell you why you don't remember this. You probably blocked the whole game out. It was Georgia State.
Oh. Ouch. Okay.
Yeah. But he has proven he can be a good catcher on. He had another one of those against Vanderbilt. So he's got good enough stuff out there on game film.
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like he is going to be the dark horse type of dude who blows us away with what he's able to put on for the scouts. And don't be shocked if his name is called in Vegas for the draft.
Yeah, he definitely needs to use his, you know, like not being used very much to his advantage. Tell him, hey, you've not seen what I can do. That could actually help him in the long run.
Hey, if I'm Dom, it's, hey, I'll do whatever. If you want to use me more in the offense to get me the ball, if you just want me to block first and foremost, I'll do whatever to get a game check and get on a roster.
Yeah, exactly. That should be your mentality.
So best of luck to everyone in the combine this week. Definitely be keeping up with that as the workouts progress, giving you some updates as that rolls along. I haven't even gotten into some of the general combine storylines here that definitely need to be discussed. So that's what we'll do when we take this break. I need to talk about what they're putting Tua through. He had to stay at a hospital for 9 hours while teams ran tests on him. And his hip. And,
I have not heard that.
We'll talk that. We'll talk some of these other just – it's every year at this combine. There's just some weird, wacky stuff that goes on with these teams evaluating players. We'll talk that on the other side. You're listening to Overtime. Keep it here on Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some Truly Hard Seltzer, 13 varieties to choose from of original Truly, multiple variety packs for you to choose from, and also get you some of the Truly Lemonade variety packs, 4 flavors in those, mango, original, black cherry, and strawberry, 100 calories, less than a gram of sugar, light and refreshing. It's not going to give you the bloat, it's not going to weigh you down. Get you some Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want to. Tap this nice little beautiful sign here. I saw Talk Sports yesterday. They cut off all the lights in here in the studio, and they actually plugged it up. And let me tell you, the glow was something else.
The thing lights up?
Oh, yeah.
That's extremely cool.
That's what it's supposed to do, but it's if you line it up with the lights on, it's kind of very distracting. But, yeah, they decided to go ahead and light it up. It was nice for a change. Maybe we should do that one night.
That'd be pretty cool.
I mean, it's already dark outside, so I don't know. Just flip off the lights in here, plug it in. Why not? Makes things interesting. Makes things more intimate. Just sports talk about the light of the Truly hard seltzer sign.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
Absolutely not here. Back to this combine talk. We'll wrap it up this segment here, but I need to get to some of these other topics that are going on in the combine. We'll touch with Tua first. So, Tua is, he's okay. His health is fine. That was going to be the biggest concern with him, with the hip, first and foremost, what knocked him out for this season. But just also the fact that, we knocked him out of our game. Mm-hmm. That's why he missed the Arkansas game with his wrist. He's had other issues here and there. So this is a man that got beat up quite a bit in his 3 years in Tuscaloosa. So had to check in on him here. Before I get to the medical evaluations of him here, his measurements were revealed. So, it's kind of surprised me a little bit. I thought he was sub 6 foot.
How tall is he?
Six even.
Okay.
I thought he was 5'11".
I thought you were about to tell me he was like 6'3 or something.
No.
I was about to say no way.
No, he's 6'even", 217. Oh, here we go. Hand size. And this is interesting here. So he's a lefty, of course. His left hand's 10 inches.
That's a big hand. A
whole inch more than Burrow. His right hand, though, 9.78. He doesn't have the same size hands. Is that something that's normal?
Did he figure out his left hand was bigger when he was young? Was like, all right, throwing lefty now.
I think if I remember the story, I think his dad forced him to throw left-handed or something.
To just have a thing?
The whole story of him and how the way his dad was on him over sports is really weird. Kind of makes me think his dad wasn't all that great of a guy, but that's another story. Is it? I mean, 9.78, that's not much smaller than 10 inches, but
it's a little different.
Is that just a thing, or is it normal if humans have one hand bigger than the other? I thought our hands were supposed to be the same. Unless you had some type of birth defect or some accident, if you had lost a tip of your fingers or something.
Yeah, I'm holding on here.
Maybe you broke a bone in your hand when you were a kid and that stunted
maybe.
It by a quarter of an inch or something. I don't know.
Holding mine here together, they seem to be about the same size. So, science. I am normal.
Tucker Holt is normal, according to him. Boom. Distinguished medical doctor.
I do have tiny hands, apparently, though, because this whole talk of Joe Burrow's 9-inch hands and how small they were, found a tape measure, just happened to find one. And I was like, oh, let's see how big my hands are. Yeah, they're not 9 inches.
So, with Tua, of course, recovering from the hip injury, he's not going to be doing a whole lot physically, at all.
Yeah.
But this is important for, again, the measurements. He's going to still get measured. And what I think teams probably think is really maybe more important than what you put on the field in these different workouts, it's the interview process.
Yeah, you got to wow them in that for sure.
It's going to be interviewed by everyone pretty much, but especially those teams that are in that range of your 3 to 5 draft picks. Dolphins especially. What's also in that 3 to 5? You had the – or Lions 2 or 1?
They're down there.
Check my draft order for me.
That's what I'm doing. I should have it pulled up any second.
So pretty much those teams with the higher draft picks, they're going to want to be talking to him a whole lot here. Reading this 247 Sports story on Tua. An AFC scout told 247 Sports it's all about durability. Durability and just the play style, because obviously he's ultra instinctive, just a gamer. The problem is the injury history. Of course, before the hip. You remember this too. He had surgery on not one, but both of his ankles. Tightrope surgery is what it's called.
Had both on both of them?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he just hurt the one.
He had the left one done December 2018, and then the right one done after our game.
Yeah, okay.
So set out quick week with that. He's also had surgery for his index finger on his throwing hand in March, and also played through a knee injury in October.
He has been beaten.
Little bit here. This AFC executive said, if you're going to bet your job on drafting him, you better be damn sure that he checks every other box, because there's a lot of things to nitpick on with this guy. Most importantly, the injuries. He's a 6-foot quarterback who's 230 pounds with a dislocated hip, and it just doesn't add up.
Ooh, that is harsh.
That's tough, man. And this goes into his whole medical testing. So talk to the media today after medical testing they had to go through here on Monday. Spent pretty much his entire day going through tests here. And just because of A, the value of Tua, and B, his recent injury history, all the quarterbacks had to go. I mean, pretty much everyone's going to go through testing here, which I think there has to be an easier way to do this, because you're going to have even teams that aren't going to draft these people just send their doctors in and evaluate them anyway. I mean, you're going through CAT scans, you're going through MRIs, you're going through all these different x-rays, you're going through the physical, of course. You're getting put through the ringer. You're getting put through the ringer for what is literally a job interview. I don't know about you, Tucker, for job interviews, I've just had to, you know, pee in a cup and stuff like that. I've never had to go through a hospital and get put under all this radiation and get my blood drawn and all that. That's a little different.
That's a really strange idea to think about.
Football, man. Football. So during availability today, Tua told the media that he got to the hospital yesterday at 10 a.m. He did not leave until 7:49 p.m.
Wow.
That's almost 10 hours at the hospital.
That is too much.
That's a little too much.
Need to be a way to expedite this. Have everybody, I mean, I guess, I don't know, do you get all the doctors together and evaluate them at once instead of him? Did he have to go through, like, evaluation with this team, then do the exact same thing with the next?
Yes.
That is dumb. That is a horrible process.
I don't know if it was all 32, but you definitely had many teams going in there and doing their own tests, whatever they wanted to run. But Tua was fine about today. He was very positive about everything. He said the tests were all positive. Ian Rappaport reported yesterday that Tua has not experienced loss of blood flow to his hip, meaning that his broken hip is now healed.
Good.
Seems like a quick time frame for that to happen, because that was that even November when that happened? It was at least late October.
Yeah.
It was early November. It was November.
That's
Mississippi
what I was
State.
Thinking. Yeah.
Yikes.
That's a quick turnaround. I mean, it's only February. Well, about March, but.
Yeah, good for his healing, good for his rehab and all that. Tua told reporters that he will be able to play the 2020 season. He expects to be ready to participate in OTAs for whatever team drafts him as well. He also emphasized two specific dates in his pre-draft process, March the 9th and April the 9th. March the 9th is the last benchmark in his rehab. On that date, he will be clear to run and do all types of movement. He also has been throwing during his rehab, he says, but nothing too crazy. And then on April the 9th, he will have his own personal pro day at Alabama. He will work out and throw in front of teams. So things moving quickly here. Even if everything goes positive, if you are the Dolphins, do you still feel comfortable in spending that pick on him to be your next guy at quarterback? Or does all the health stuff scare you off? Because I personally think this dude's made of glass, and that's just unfortunate, even though he is definitely hell of talented, has so much talent.
Yeah, it's definitely a major risk.
But, I mean, who do you take besides him?
That's exactly what
I mean,
I
you
was
take
thinking.
Justin Herbert? I don't think so.
I take the risk on Tua. Like,
I don't trust Justin Herbert. I'd rather take Tua.
I trust the hurt Tua before anybody else. I mean, besides Joe Burrow, but you're not getting Joe Burrow.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he really doesn't want to play for the Bengals. Maybe he pulls an Eli Manning, gets drafted by him anyway, but it's like, I'm not going to play for you. You better get some sweet trade deal.
Yeah.
It has happened before.
Do you still want that top five of these draft picks?
Go right ahead. Get that to me before
we
hit the spread.
Number one, Cincinnati.
Yes.
Number two is the Redskins.
Redskins, and then Lions are three.
Lions, Giants, Dolphins.
Well, if you're not the Giants, if you're Giants, you're not talking to a quarterback.
No, you got Daniel Jones.
I mean,
Danny Dimes.
I mean, I don't do that yet if I'm the Lions. I mean, the Dolphins still make the most sense.
Yeah.
Tua is still going to go fifth to the Dolphins, unless something just health-wise catastrophic happens.
Or the Dolphins are just decide not. The Dolphins aren't the best franchise.
They'll take that risk, though.
Surely.
They will take that risk, especially if he looks like he hasn't missed a beat during his workouts.
Yeah. I'll be real mad if they somehow screw this up and don't take him and the Chargers end up with him. That's a division rival.
Yeah, me too, Tucker. Yeah, I wouldn't want to deal with that. I want the Chargers to stay just at the bottomless pit that they're in right now. It'd be fantastic. Let's hit another break and come back and wrap up Hour 1, Tuesday edition of Overtime on Fan Run Radio. We're going to come back after this quick break, wrap up this hour. You are listening to Overtime. Uh-oh, big-time breaking news in spring training for baseball. a certain Mets prospect in the Mets system just got his first spring hit and is also a home run.
Oh!
Timothy Richard Tebow.
Is it the year?
No.
It's the year. He's going to do it.
It's not, but yeah, man. Big-time news in spring baseball. What the hell number is he? What number is he wearing here? Is he wearing 95, 85? That's a very strange number.
What a terrible number.
But yeah, man, now in let's see here. So down there in Florida, spring training baseball, the Mets were taking on the Tigers in Lakeland, Florida. They did lose 9-6 to the Tigers. However, though, let's see. Yeah, got his first hit in the spring here and just happened to be a home run. It was also his first career extra base hit in a big league uniform.
Wow. It's a two-run homer, too.
Look at that. Tebow moving up, man.
Good for him.
If you're a Mets fan, do you want that? I mean, do you want him eventually called up, even if it's going to be a complete failure? I think that's still good enough for your PR, and that's good enough for, hey, ticket and concession sales, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's dumb that people would flock to that game if he was to actually dress out for the New York Mets. But they would. They would pack the stadium out to see Tim Tebow go 0-for-4.
What's his ceiling as a baseball player?
Double A?
I'm really curious.
What is he even in? He's not in double A. No way. He's got to be in single A highest.
I mean, he's been in the system for a while now. Hold on. I'll tell you what he's doing right now. He, it's not updated now. I mean, it's just spring training just now started. So last season he got cut short in July. He injured his left pinky fielding the ball in the outfield. It required 8 stitches. Ugh. As a result, he missed the remainder of the 2019 season. So, no, he got the Triple A.
He got the
Syracuse. It's, yeah,
it's that name. I don't think it's skill based.
I'm just saying. You said double A, but then it's like, no, he's kind of right there.
Oh well,
he's kind of just right there in Syracuse, upstate New York. If they ever have a roster spot open, someone goes on IR, just gets a little call. It's like, hey, Timmy.
I mean, they
get your stuff together. Come down to Queens.
There is a bunch of teams that they'll pull up a pitcher for 2 games, send him back, pull him up for another game.
He's wearing number 85 right now.
What a horrible! Surely, who's doing this to him?
Surely, if he got called up, he's got to get a different number. That's such a dumb number. That makes no sense. You're not a wide receiver.
You look much worse going 0-for-4 and 85. I mean, we're like, you know, we're 15. Is there a 15 on the Mets? Just bring 15 back.
Is 15 retired by the Mets?
Oh God, I didn't even think about that.
I mean, I can see 15. Tebow's 32, by the way. Time's running out for him to do something. Because how many years does he have left to try to at least get a few games in the main roster? He doesn't have that much time, I don't think.
I'll say give him until he's 35.
15. Is anyone currently wearing 15 for the Mets? And I will say, like, baseball players do wear random numbers. I'm looking at some of their pitchers right now. They have, like, 83, 72, 77.
That's just weird.
79. 15. There's so many dadgum people in the baseball roster. I'm not seeing a 15 yet unless I overlooked it. You got to remember the coaches wear numbers too. None of the coaches wearing 15, which makes me think, is it a retired number?
I don't know. That's what I'm checking right now.
Because if it's available number, everyone associates 15 with Tim Tebow.
Yeah, exactly.
15's not retired.
Then why is he not? I mean, I guess maybe on the team he's
37, 14, 41, 31, and of course 42 for Jackie Robinson. Absolutely. as in every baseball team.
Yeah.
So 15's available.
That would make sense on a branding standpoint.
Well, I tell you what, all I want to see if he does get called up, if Tebow Mania recaptures America's imagination once again, and all of a sudden you start seeing some 15 Mets jerseys pop up, okay? The people I went to middle school and high school with who are bandwagon Florida fans because of Tim Tebow, I want your ass to buy a Mets jersey. I want your ass to buy a Mets jersey and wear it. I want to see how dedicated you still are, okay? That's my only wish.
Yeah. I'm glad most of those people have kind of disappeared. I mean, there's still a bunch of people.
Well, they turned
around into
Alabama fans.
Yeah, you're right.
And now sure some did. Of them turned into Clemson fans.
Yeah.
The cycle just
That's
keeps
a sad
going.
Life to live.
I wonder if Tennessee had bandwagon fans in the late 90s, Tucker.
Probably.
They were like, did you see a Peerless Price T. Martin, Al Wilson jersey in Colorado?
You probably did.
I talked to someone about that, see if they know about that. Because I'm very interested in that. Well, we have reached the end of hour number one here. Hour two of overtime on your Tuesday evening is coming up after this break. Catch you on the other side. Mrs. Robinson, Jesus loves you more than you will know.